Cecil Carpenter was at work on Thursday, February 28th, 1991, when he got the phone call that every parent of a soldier doesn't want to get. His son, 20-year-old Private Clayton Carpenter, a soldier in the U.S. Army, had been fighting the war in Iraq, and the U.S. government called to tell Cecil that his son had been killed in action. Suddenly, the world went blank for Cecil Carpenter. Clayton's mother, Ruth, was also in shock. The grief seemed too great to bear. The news spread quickly through their small town, and friends and family came to console Cecil and Ruth. An impromptu ceremonial memorial was set up in the town square with flowers and black ribbons for sorrow. Cecil and Ruth tried to sleep that night, but sleep would not come. Ruth kept looking at the picture of her son Clayton and thinking, no, he can't be dead. This has got to be a mistake. Yet in spite of the fact that she could hardly believe her son had been killed, she wasn't prepared for the phone call she got the next evening. When she picked the call, a far-off voice on the other side said, hi, Mom, this is Clayton. Clayton, Ruth said, how can it be? You were pronounced dead. It's me. Come on, Mom, you've got to believe it, Clayton pleaded. He was calling from a hospital in Saudi Arabia. He'd been lightly wounded in the foot and in the hand, but he wasn't dead. The army had made a mistake. Ruth was so shocked, she had to make sure it was really her son. She wasn't being tricked. And so she asked him, tell me the name I used to call you when you were just a little boy, my favorite name for you. And when Clayton told her the name, Ruth started shaking. Her son was alive. Her son was alive. Word of Clayton's life came back to the town and spread like wildfire. Within a short time, hundreds of people were in the town square celebrating, singing, and rejoicing. They tore down the memorial. They threw away the black ribbons. Their son was alive. Their son was alive. Later, Ruth summed up her feelings like this. I laughed. I cried. I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, whom I thought was dead, was really alive. I'm sure none of you can even imagine how I felt. Perhaps we can't imagine how she felt, but the women at Jesus' empty tomb could understand. For you see, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was not just reported dead. He actually did die. And when his followers went to the tomb on Easter morning, they never expected to see Jesus alive. Nobody expected no body. Yet when the Lord appeared to them, their fear and grief turned to joy. Their shock turned to celebration. And they worshiped the risen Lord. And just like those women at the empty tomb, we also celebrate today. We celebrate the good news that Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. We celebrate the good news that our Lord came back to life. He was dead, but now he lives. We celebrate his triumph over every foe. But we don't just celebrate what he did. We celebrate what it means for us. For in his resurrection, we too have hope. In his resurrection, we too have victory. We too have life. Because he lives, we live also. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the powerful truth we're going to discover in our sermon this morning. We're going to see how each and every one of us can apply the resurrection power to our lives today and find the place of total victory and life. But before we learn how to do that, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we thank you that you have conquered the grave and sin and Satan. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought victory not only to your Son, but to us. We ask now that the revelation of your Spirit, the truth of this great knowledge, will grip our hearts and change our lives. We submit ourselves to you and bind every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us in the name of Jesus. And I loose the power of the living God, the power of resurrection, to fill us and encourage us and strengthen us today for your glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and pray with me now. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House, New Testament Church, and happy Easter to everyone. This is a day to celebrate like no other day in the history of the world. It's a day of rejoicing and praise, for today is the day we mark the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. For as we all know, on Friday, our Lord was crucified. It was a day of sorrow, a day of grief, a day of mourning. And then on Saturday, there was a day of fear as the disciples hid, wondering what their fate or their future would be. But what they didn't realize is that God was working behind the scenes. All that happened was part of God's plan. For the cross was not an accident. It was not a bump in the road. It was not a temporary setback. But it was the plan of God from eternity on. For the Bible says he is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. God planned it before we even needed it, so that in one triumphant act, every foe could be defeated. Every foe could be put under the feet of Jesus. And our Heavenly Father worked to bring about the greatest permanent victory for Jesus and for us. So give the Lord a round of applause as we bless him today. For you see, the great and mighty God can never be defeated. The Lord of life can never be kept in the grave. There is no power on heaven or on earth or under the earth that is greater than the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So early on Sunday morning, the ground began to shake and the heavens were parted and the life of divinity came and touched every cell in the corpse of Jesus' body, and new life came upon him and he rose from the dead. Somebody shout, Jesus is alive. This is a day to celebrate like no other day in history. But this day is not just history. It's a present reality. It's more than an event that took place 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem. It has implications for you and for me today. For when Jesus rose from the dead, he opened a door that remains open to this day. When the stone was rolled away and the tomb was made empty, it opened up the way for all of us to come out from a death and from destruction. For the stone is still removed and the way to life is still open for you and I. See, the resurrection was not just to bring Jesus to life. It was to bring all of us to life. Jesus didn't come just to save us from our sins. He came to bring the dead back to life, to give us life in eternity and life today. So as we celebrate this Easter morning, we need to ask ourselves, how can we appropriate the full power, the full glory, the full victory of Jesus' resurrection into our lives today? How can we drive every vestige of darkness and failure and defeat from our lives and live in the reality of the resurrection? Well, to help us do that this morning, we're going to study the story of a man who was just like you and I, an ordinary man who was touched by the power of the resurrection. He received that power from Jesus. His name is Lazarus. And in his story, we can learn how resurrection power develops and works in us today. Now, to help us learn the truth about Lazarus, we printed sermon notes. They look like this. You'll find yours inside your bulletin, and I want to invite you to take it out now and follow along with me as we discover the three stages of resurrection. Now, time will not permit us to read the entire story of Lazarus, but let's begin this morning with the first four verses. Let's read them out loud together to get some context for the story. They're on your notes, they're on the screen, but I want you to read it out loud with me right now. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. Somebody say, it will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, our story begins with a basic introduction. You've got Jesus, the Savior. You've got his dear friend, Lazarus, and Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the Bible tells us a day came when Lazarus got sick, and Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. They believed in his power to heal. They believed in his love and friendship, and they wanted him to come and heal their brother. But Jesus did something that's deeper in these verses than just giving us basic facts. In verse 4, Jesus gives us an understanding of the purpose of God in this situation. He declares by faith the final outcome. It will not end in death. Jesus said, but it will bring about the glory of God. And in that statement, we see the path of the stages of resurrection that we can follow this morning. And here's your first stage of resurrection. It's the challenge of unmet expectations. If you have your pen, just take it and fill in the blanks. Challenge and expectations right there at the top of page one. The challenge of unmet expectations. See, the Bible tells us that Mary and Martha sent for Jesus because they expected him to come. They didn't send after him thinking he might turn them down. They used the term, your dear friend, someone close to you, is very sick. He urgently needs you. But Jesus does something unusual. When he receives this request, he remains another few days where he was. Listen to verses 5 and 6. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. He loves them, but he delays. And then after waiting 2 days, he sets off for Bethany to go and see what's happening there. But when he gets there, he's told that Lazarus is already dead. In fact, in verse 17, the Bible says Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 solid days. And think for a minute about what this meant to Mary and Martha. Think about how they felt. They had expected Christ to come. They expected him to heed their call. They called upon him. They knew he loved Lazarus. They knew he had the power to heal. They expected him to do something. But rather than Jesus coming when they wanted him to, he didn't show up till too late. His lack of response led to their brother's death. So interestingly enough, when both Mary and Martha see him separately from one another, they both say the exact same thing. In verses 21 and 32, they say this, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And in that statement, you can hear their unmet expectations. When you think about it, unmet expectations is a recurring theme throughout the Easter story. For you see, when the crowds gathered the week before on Palm Sunday, they waved palm branches and shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, the Son of David has come. They expected Christ to restore the Jewish kingdom. But when their expectations weren't met, that same crowd turned later and shouted, Crucify him, crucify him. Judas had unmet expectations. He thought that Jesus would become king of Israel and that he would be appointed minister of finance. But when his expectations weren't met, he turned and betrayed Christ. In fact, the reason all the disciples were so shocked and so grieved and so disappointed at the cross was because they had unmet expectations. They expected Jesus to act in a way and do things in a way that they wanted. He told them plainly, I'm going to die on the cross, but their ears couldn't hear what he said because of expectations. And when he died, their hopes and dreams were dashed on the rock of unmet expectations. The fact is, friends, Jesus often disappoints people. It's not that he fails. It's not that he's not good. It's not that he's not faithful or loving or kind. The problem is we human beings expect Jesus to do what we want. We want him to conform to our will and to our ways, but Jesus never follows the will of people. He always follows the will of his Father. He doesn't do what we want. He does what will bring glory to God. We think if God loves us, he'll act right on time, but God loves us and delays so that the resurrection power can come. We ask for the physical, but God seeks the eternal. We want our needs met, but God wants the glory of God to be seen. Have you ever had unmet expectations in your Christian life? Maybe there's a prayer you've been praying, something you've been burdening over, and yet up till now it hasn't come. You think God is late. You think you won't get your answer. You may even be tempted today to think that God has failed you. But the reason we have unmet expectations is because we don't understand the purposes of what God is doing. We have our own agenda, and until we lay it down and accept his, we'll be disappointed. See, the truth is, in order for there to be a resurrection, there first has to be a death. If there's no death, there's no resurrection. If Lazarus had not died, he wouldn't have had a miracle in his life. If Jesus had not died, we wouldn't be here this morning. God was doing something greater. And even though it's painful, the only path to resurrection is the path of death. You have to die to your expectations so that you can be resurrected to the glory of God. We see this in the life of that great prophet, John the Baptist, one of the greatest men who ever lived. He served God faithfully, but at the end of his life, he had a crisis in his faith because of unmet expectations. See, the Bible tells us Herod the king threw John the Baptist in jail, and I believe he expected his cousin, the Savior, Jesus, to rescue him. He thought, surely Jesus will come and get me out of prison. But one day went by, and a week went by, and a month went by, and a year went by, and still John languished in prison. For 15 months he remained until his faith was shaken, and in Matthew 11:2, the Bible says this, when John was in prison, he heard about the things that were happening, things the Messiah would do. So he sent some of his followers to Jesus, and they asked him, are you the one we have been expecting, or should we wait for someone else? Because what was happening wasn't what John expected. And that same question is the question we have to ask ourselves today. Are we expecting something from God, or do we begin looking elsewhere? Some of us are battling in faith right now because our expectations haven't been met. We expected something, it hasn't happened, and so we think perhaps we're looking in the wrong place, and our faith begins to wander. We wonder if we should give up on God. Reminds me of the story of the pastor who had two daughters, an older one and a younger one. And on the birthday of the older daughter, he decided to take her out to the market and buy her a brand new bicycle. He took the little three-year-old daughter along as well, and the three of them went to the market. They found a beautiful bicycle for the older child. And when the little child, the three-year-old, saw it, she wanted a bicycle too. And the father said, my dear, you're too small to ride a bicycle. You'll have to wait. But the younger child would not be dissuaded, and she began to cry, I want a bicycle. And the father said, look, if you get on this bicycle, you'll fall off. It will cause you more pain than thrill. But still, the little girl was crying, I want a bicycle. Finally, with nothing else to say, the father said, look, I'm your dad. I know best, and you just have to listen and accept what your daddy says. To which the little girl replied, then I want a new daddy. And don't we often act the same? When God doesn't give us what we want, when we want a different God, a different outcome. But Psalm 62:5 gives us the key to unmet expectations. When David said, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. And the only way to overcome the challenge of unmet expectations is to surrender your will to him. Let your expectation be centered on Jesus. Don't surrender to disappointment. Surrender your disappointment to God. Lay down your will and your understanding. Put your hope in him. For the Bible says in Isaiah 49:23, then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. For God always gives the best to those who leave the choice to him. If you have unmet expectations in your life today, then I have good news for you. Easter is for you. The death, the waiting, the disappointment, if that's where your life is today, then today is your day. Because after the death, there's resurrection. After the waiting, there's hope. After the disappointment, there is a new start. That's why God says in Isaiah 40:31, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Turn your notes over to page 2 and consider this truth then, that if you will wait upon the Lord, he's going to work it out. He's already behind the scenes doing something, preparing something that you don't know. There's a resurrection coming in your life, and it will blow your mind with the blessings from God. That's a lesson I learned in my life about 20 years ago when my wife and I, at a time with our children, decided to take a sabbatical from our mission work. We went to live temporarily in our hometown in the United States. And because it was temporary, we looked for a house to rent. And we looked for a few days, and finally we found a house. It seemed perfect to me. It was just what we wanted, in a good location, a good price. So we put in a contract offer. But a few days later, the agent called us and said, I'm sorry, the landlord has given that house to someone else. And I'm going to confess, I got angry with God. Have you ever been angry with God? I was like, God, don't you know what you've done? This beautiful house, I wanted it. It was perfect. You've not given it to me. Why? I will never get something as good as that one. Fortunately, my wife had faith, and she said, no, God is going to bless and reward us. And sure enough, the next week, the agent took us to a house that was twice as big, closer to the church, filled in many rooms with furniture, at a lower price with a Christian landlord. It was better in every way. My expectation was a bad idea compared to God's great plan. God has something better in mind for you today. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home. Your unmet expectations need the reality of unfinished business. And that's our second stage of resurrection, the reality of unfinished business. Just take your pen and fill in reality and business. For you see, Jesus has already known what's taking place, and he's working behind the scene. That's why in verse 4, Jesus could say, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God. Jesus knows what we don't know. He knows that this is not the end. And when he heard that Lazarus had died, he wasn't worried. He wasn't afraid. He didn't panic, because he knew that Lazarus' story wouldn't end in death. And we can meet the challenge of unmet expectations when we realize that this is not the end. For as long as Jesus is with us, there's always hope. For us as Christians, it never ends in death. For Jesus said in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. So it never ends in death for the children of God. It always ends in life. And Jesus could declare that about Lazarus and declare it about us. It won't end in death. But the fact is, there is death before the end. He had to go through death to come out to resurrection. And I say to you today, your situation will not end in death. Your situation will not end in failure. Your situation will not end in grief or in disappointment or in anything that will break your heart. Your situation will not end. You may be passing through the valley of the shadow of death right now. You may be in a low point, but this is not the end. For the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. If you believe it, lift your hand and shout hallelujah. But you've got to acknowledge God is working, and he's not finished yet. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful palace with a great hall. The hall was laid on the floor with beautiful marble tiles, and in the middle of this hall, there was a fantastic marble statue, etched and carved by a master sculptor to look so lovely. In fact, people came from all around the world to view this palace and the beautiful marble sculpture. But one night, when the place was closed and everyone had gone, the marble tile on the floor and the marble statue started having a discussion. And the marble tile on the floor began to complain and said, it's not fair. People come from all around to admire you, but all they do is walk on me. Then the statue said, well, don't you remember we both came from the same quarry? And the marble floor said, exactly, that's why I feel it's unfair. We came from the same quarry, and yet we're treated differently. It's not fair. The marble statue said, well, do you remember the day when they brought us out and the designer, the sculptor, began to work on you with hammer and chisel, but you resisted the tools? Yes, the floor said, I remember. I hate that man. He hurt me. The statue said, that's right. He couldn't work on you because you resisted him. But when he decided to give up on you and start working on me, I knew at once that if I let him have his way, something different would come from my life. I didn't resist his tools. I bore the painful marks because I knew he was creating a masterpiece. My friend, there's a price to pay for everything in life. If you give up halfway, don't blame anybody if people step on you. God knows how to take his hammer and chisel to your life so that he can shape you for greater things. This is not the end. There's unfinished business that God is working in your life. So submit to his hammer and chisel and let him make a masterpiece out of you. For God will complete his work in you. He will do what he says he will do. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, remember the things I've done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God and there's none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. And God has a plan for you that if you surrender, it will come to pass. The work will be finished, and you'll experience resurrection life. It may take time, but be patient and wait for it. Some years ago, I drove my Pajero to a filling station because I needed fuel. My tank had gotten very low, and I drove up and parked there, and the attendant came, began to fill my tank. And as I was waiting there, a guy on a motorbike drove up next to me, parked and started filling his tank. And before I knew it, a minute or two had passed. He paid the attendant and drove off. And I sat there and said, hey, I'm still sitting here. He came after me, but he left ahead of me. But then I realized why. My fuel tank had a bigger capacity, so it takes longer to fuel. I didn't get angry or complain. My Pajero is not a motorbike, and I wouldn't trade it for one. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Others may have come in after you and they left ahead of you, but that's just because you have a bigger capacity. God is doing something greater in you, preparing you for greater things, and he's not there yet, but he will do it. For the Bible says in Philippians 1:6, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So whenever you're tempted to despair, remember the story of the fern and the bamboo. The fern is a plant that grows rapidly in almost every country of the world. Once you sow the seed, within a day or two it sprouts and spreads all along the ground. But when you plant a bamboo seed, for the first 5 years, there's absolutely no sign of life. No sprout emerges. For 5 years, the bamboo seed lies dormant in the ground, out of sight, seemingly dead, forgotten, useless. Then in the 5th year, a tiny sprout emerges. Compared to the fern, it looks so small and insignificant. But just 6 months later, that little bamboo sprout has grown to 30 meters in height. It spent 5 years developing roots, making it strong, giving it what it needs to survive. So don't despair, my friend. This is not the end. God is not finished with you yet. You are not forgotten. For all these years that seem dormant in your life are simply a time when God is growing your roots. And in his time, it will spring up and rise to a mighty height for his glory. That's why David said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He's given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he's done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Turn your notes over to page 3 and you'll find the third stage of our resurrection, the joy of an unwrapped life. The joy of an unwrapped life. Just take your pen and fill in the blanks with the words joy and life. For you see, when Jesus got to Bethany, they said he's dead. And Jesus said, take me to the tomb. And when they got there, he said, roll away the stone. And then in verse 43, the Bible says, Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. Then listen to verse 44. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave cloths, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. And friends, think about this for a minute. The resurrection power had come into Lazarus' body. He was alive. Death was gone. But he was still bound by the grave cloths. His hand and feet were bound. So when he said, come out, Lazarus had to hop to get out. Can you imagine the sight? Mary and Martha stand at the tomb's entrance, and there comes their brother all wrapped up in the grave cloths, hopping out, and suddenly Jesus says, unwrap him and let him go. And they rush to pull the grave cloths off him and liberate him. And here's the fact. The resurrection had already taken place, but there was still a work of liberation that had to come. And it shows us a powerful truth. The resurrection is just the beginning. The Bible says that when the life of Christ comes into us, we are saved. But after that, that life must be manifest every day. We are free and we are being freed. We are new in Christ and we are continually being made new. We've passed from death to life, yet we must reckon the old man dead. We're saved and we're being saved. And that unwrapping is the daily process of applying resurrection power to your life today. So it's time to take away all the vestiges of death. It's time to remove all the bondages of the past. It's time to unwrap the layers of your life and come out to be everything God has called you to be. It's time to live in the daily resurrection power that Jesus offers to us. A lot of people get stuck at the empty tomb. They get stuck at the beginning and never go deeper. We accept Christ, but we don't seem to grow. The resurrected Savior comes to live in us, but we're still bound by the grave cloths of our old life. But I challenge you today to hear the word of the Lord, unwrap him and let him go. I challenge you today to reach out by faith and hear Jesus say to you, unwrap her and let her go. I challenge you today to let the resurrection power come into your heart and fill every corner of your life. For the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we're changed into his glorious image. Let the impact of the resurrection fill every area of your life today. For Easter is simply the launching pad into a life of victory, a life of power, a life of being unwrapped. When Jesus said, unwrap him and let him go, he wasn't just talking about loosing Lazarus. He was talking about commissioning him. Let him go to proclaim my word. Let him go to declare my miracles. Let him go as a testimony and a witness to me. And when he says to you today that the resurrection power will fill you, you should go forth to be free, go forth to fulfill your destiny, go forth and allow Christ's love to flow through you and make a difference by spreading his power wherever you are. For Christ didn't just save you to get you to heaven. He brought resurrection power to transform every part of your life. That's the lesson we can learn from the story of one of the greatest runners in the history of the world, a man named Glenn Cunningham. When Glenn was just 8 years old, he was trapped inside a fire at the schoolhouse. He was so badly burned, the doctors didn't think he would survive. And even if he did live, they said he would never walk again. All the toes on his left foot were burned off. All the skin from his knees were burnt off, and his shins were damaged. It seemed impossible for him to live. But Glenn clung to the promise of God found in Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So Glenn began to recover. But when he recovered, he didn't believe that God had called him to live and remain a cripple. So he was determined to walk. Day by day for 2 years, he pulled himself along the ground, struggling to get his legs to work. And finally, after 2 years, Glenn Cunningham took his first step alone. But then he said, God didn't save me and allow me to walk alone. I'm going to start running. And Glenn Cunningham started running. He ran everywhere. He ran right into the university track team, and then he ran into the 1932 and the 1936 Olympics. He set the world record for the 800-meter race, and he set another world record for the indoor mile. When he retired from running, Glenn Cunningham said, God didn't save me just so I could walk, just so I could run, just so I could win races. He saved me for a greater purpose. So he and his wife opened a youth ranch and they saved and rescued over 9,000 troubled teens in their life. The boy they thought would die ended up saving thousands of other lives. Glenn Cunningham discovered what we all need to discover this morning. When God resurrects us, he does it for a purpose. It may take time, it may take effort, it may take a process to unwrap your life, but when you discover the power of the resurrection, you will move from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. For God didn't save you just so you could sit by the empty tomb wrapped in grave clothes. God didn't save you so that you would still be bound by fear or sin or pride or jealousy. God didn't save you so you would live a defeated, half-hearted Christian life. God saved you to make you a powerhouse, to make you an overcomer, to put his resurrection power in you so you can walk by faith and run the race and receive the prize of his high calling. What has bound you today? Let his resurrection power come and unwrap you and let you go. For Romans chapter 8, 9 to 11 says, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Are you facing unmet challenges? Surrender your disappointment to God. Let his expectation become yours. Let him resurrect a better dream in your life. Accept the reality of the unfinished business. God is not finished with you. This is not the end, and it will not end in death as long as you continue to hope in the Lord. Discover the joy of an unwrapped life as you, by faith, accept his resurrection power into every nook and cranny of your life, spirit, soul, and body. Loose him, unwrap him, and let him go. I speak life to you today in the name of Jesus. I speak life to your mortal body. I speak life into your spirit that is weary. I speak life into your soul that is troubled by doubt. I speak life into those hands that are hanging down and those knees that are weak. I speak life into your marriage today. I speak resurrection power into your career, into your destiny, into your dreams, into who you are and who God has called you to be. I speak life to your children, your husband and wife. I speak life to your extended family. I speak life to this nation. Let the power of the resurrection life fill us. Unwrap us, Lord, and have your way in us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together with me right now? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to take a moment to worship the Lord, and I'm trusting right now as we worship him that God is going to come and minister to you right where you are. Lift your hands by faith and sing together with us. Believe God for a touch in your life that resurrection power will not pass you by, but it will fill you anew and afresh. Let's worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. I believe right now the resurrection power of our Lord is in this place. If you have an unmet expectation that's caused you heartbreak, just lift up your hand right now to the Lord. He sees it. If you're struggling in the battle with unfinished business, and right now the hammer and chisel seem so painful, you're losing sight of that masterpiece God wants to make of you, just lift up your hand. Today you know that you believe in the resurrection, but you need to be unwrapped. You need the power of the resurrection to fill your heart and life. Just lift your hand right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, to every heart, to every soul, to every life in this building with their hand raised to you by faith. Lord, come and meet them today. I loose the resurrection power of the Lord upon every heart, every life, every soul. I loose the Spirit of the living God to move, oh God. Help us to lay down our own agenda. We receive yours by faith today, Lord. Help us not to be weary in the middle of the battle, but we yield ourselves to you. Strengthen us. Let us arise with wings like eagles. Let us run and not be weary. Let us walk and not faint. Lord, help us today. Unwrap us, that every corner of our lives will be touched by your power. You rose from the dead. The total ultimate victory is yours. Let it be manifest in us today as we give you the praise and the glory now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Friend, it's done. It's done by faith. It's done in the name of Jesus. Come on and give the Lord a round of applause. Let's worship him now. Hallelujah.
How many are glad to be an overcomer in Jesus today?